Spotlight.
This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring a discussion on key provisions of the Promotion and Regulation of Online Gaming Bill 2025. The participants are Shubimol Bhattacharjee, political analyst, and Gaura Dhavanlal, anchor.
Hello and welcome to our program. The Lok Sabha cleared the Promotion and Regulation of Online Gaming Bill 2025 yesterday, and today the Rajya Sabha also gave its approval. The bill, which essentially bans online gaming apps that require users to pay money to win cash, now needs the President's signature to become a law. We are delighted to have in the studio with us to help us understand more about the need, impact and challenges of bringing in this bill, Shubimol Bhattacharjee, who is a technology and policy advisor and also a well-known columnist. Shubimol, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So before we, as we say, move on, we'd like to actually start with Mr. Ashwini Vaishnaw, the Minister of Electronics and Information Technology. Let's listen to that.
Online gaming sector is emerging as a major sector in the digital world. It has three segments. First is esports, which is where the teams play. There is strategic decision making. There is a lot of coordination between teams. Second is online social games, which are part of our life, which don't impact the society in a negative way. Third is online money games. These are the games which really cause so much harm to the society.
To prevent the harms to the society and prevent the harms to the middle class families and to our youth, this bill has been brought, which basically encourages beneficial activities like esports and online social gaming, discourages the online money gaming, which has huge harm on the society.
So, Shubimol, I think long on the anvil, this bill, and there were clear indications earlier from the government that it's in the pipeline, it's going to come, and now it's finally here. Both houses have cleared it, just waiting to become a law. Your first response?
I thought that this piece of legislation was very essential. The government had to take a call about whether it did a complete prohibitory ban or it brought in a kind of a regulatory ban. The government took a call that it will do a full prohibition because the experience of the last 2-3 years, ever since this online gaming sector was opened, hasn't really been very good. More than 45 crores Indians play those games. Many are losing money. Mostly people are losing money. They do not know where, in many cases, where the money is going. A number of illegal platforms for such games were floundering. Different states has different set of legislations. So it was a kind of very clumsy situation where it had societal concerns as well as national security concerns. So the government had to take a call. In its wisdom, it brought in a very strong bill, which not only looked at the sector per se, but also other sectors that promote the sector, like the banking channels that allow the financial transactions out of these money-based online games to flow. And number two, the advertisements, you know, that bring in more people and generate the excitement among the younger vulnerable sections.
Right. So 45 crore, and that's a huge number. So we were very lucky to have a little conversation with Dr. Manoj Kumar, who's a professor of clinical psychology, NIMHANS, Bengaluru. Also to understand, money is very close to our lives and so are our habits. And we'll talk of gaming and gambling and addiction and we'll talk about all that. But to say that it's a young population, we're looking and wanting to reap a demographic dividend. What is it doing to our people? Let's listen to him.
Now, gaming is in high demand because of three characteristics. One is called accessibility. Second is affordability. Third is acknowledgement. So all these three characteristics holds them to remain a member of this any gaming team, or they start playing at individual level also. When they engage themselves in gaming, it takes away a lot of their time from prioritized activities of the day-to-day time. Second thing which becomes is loss of control. They start lose their control once they initiate the game. And the last is consequences. They know consequences are there, but they continue to play it. So all these three characteristics also makes them heavy user or addictive user of games. Now the things comes is how to treat it. We have a specialized treatment facility at National Institute of Mental Health and Neuroscience, which we call SHET Clinics, which stand for Service for Healthy Use of Technology. And it is India one of a kind clinic. clinic and which has been running from 2014 onwards. Here we provide guidance in terms of how to regulate or balance their gaming habits. Second guidance is on the context of psychological issues. Third, we work with the family so that they should know what communication they should have so that they can also encourage children for healthy use of technology. And in case children have other psychiatric problems which are also affecting the indulgence in games, we also provide treatment for them. And we also run a digital detox helpline every Friday, so anybody can call us and they can seek guidance from us. And currently we are running online parent groups also, where we are helping parents to handle the issues related to gaming in the family context.
So coming back now to understand from you, and I think before we move on further, you know, this difference between gaming and gambling, of course, the lens will be completely different. And esports is very happy that this has come. There's a legitimization. And I think when people are not moving towards money is, what are the other incentives used? Is it equally addictive? How does this pan out?
Well, the government has been very clear. They want esports to flourish in the country. And definitely this is something that, you know, you cannot go against the wave. All across the world, there's a lot of interest in online gaming. But when it comes to, you know, money-based games, there lies sometimes a problem. There all the channels that you can use to protect your citizens from not getting addicted. Some have even gone and committed suicide because of continuous losing. And then of course, money flowing to quarters outside the country, you know, so a lot of financial information about Indians participating in these games going out in servers that are even typically not known where they are hosted. So today, when we have a lot of national security issues and, you know, with so much of data, so many Indians playing this game, a certain pattern, a certain idea, a certain understanding about the demographics and so many things can be ascertained with the help of artificial intelligence induced models and all.
So a lot of data is going out.
A lot of things. So you cannot, you know, you cannot give such kind of information for your enemies to be picking up and all. So one, the societal concern remains very strong because you cannot allow your young people to be addicted. And these are, you know, the games are in such a way that actually make you, you know, addictive and all. So that is a call that the government had to take. It's not a very easy call, but it's a very bold call. I would think it's a very good thing that they've done.
Right. You know, you earlier mentioned the word accountability. So help us, walk us through accountability of institutions facilitating the monetary transactions, accountability of sponsoring companies, and accountability of endorsement givers.
Absolutely. I think the first level of responsibility comes with the platforms. The platforms that allow the games to be offered and then played. Now, unless you have a proper, well-defined system in which you choose them and even, you know, regulate the games that they offer and then always keep a watch on what they are doing, there are slips that can happen right at the beginning. So what the bill proposes is an online gaming authority that's going to come and set the regulatory tone. That means that new platforms are going to be registered who are going to offer those different kind of games, and then henceforth they would have to be completely regulated. Then, you know, the financial institutions that support the payment systems that support such kind of payment. Everyone today wants everything to happen seamlessly. So it's linked to their bank account. It's linked to their UPI account. It may be linked to their credit card accounts. So many. And then you would find also some illegal, you know, syndicates coming who will say, okay, you can pay us cash and we'll use our digital identity to enter and play the game for you. So another level of problem you create. So those things government had to really stop right at the beginning. Question still arises that when you take such a step, then there would be so many other illegal websites that could be coming up here, and you know, surrogate website stuff where people can and or people will now go and play and all. But I think the government takes such a step, it will also ensure that the legal recourse it has, the network of the law enforcement across the country as well as the central forces and the bilateral understanding in many countries to be able to look at, you know, digital crimes and all, that will by and large take care of everything. You know, the money flowing out of the country, if it is controlled, and it will be controlled because the banking channels are also targeted in this legislation, I think the government will be able to realize a lot part of what they intend to do, which is to save the common Indian from getting trapped.
Right. You'd earlier mentioned that, you know, different states had different rules or regulations which were there. It was quite a little mixture with very little clarity. Our Puducherry correspondent, of course, has a filed report giving another perspective of actually what the scenario is there. Let's listen to him.
Before taking the extreme step of ending his life 5 years ago, on a fateful day in October, S. Vijayakumar of Vilayanur Puducherry had posted a WhatsApp status message urging for a ban on online gambling. The 36-year-old, who ran a mobile phone service and recharge shop, reportedly lost several lakhs of rupees in online card games. Vijayakumar's case is among the many tragic instances of individuals who fell victim to real money online gaming platforms. The Promotion and Regulation of Online Gaming Bill 2025, introduced by the central government in Parliament, will prevent such tragedies in the future and give relief to many such bereaved families. Akashwani Puducherry has talked to victims' family regarding the bill. Welcoming the bill, Vijayakumar's wife Nallammal expressed relief that the government had taken steps to curb online gambling.
Came to know that a bill has been introduced to ban gambling in online games. I welcome this bill. No family should suffer in future like mine due to online gambling. I and my family have been suffering so much in the last 5 years due to this. No child should have to grow up losing their father to such games. Only those who experience it will know the pain of losing someone in the family. I know many people who got addicted to online games and lost their money. Some people recover from those losses. Some people who cannot recover succumb to such extreme steps like suicide. I have witnessed many people like that. Please ban such gambling games completely.
You earlier, Suvibal, said that authority, there is a regulatory authority. We know that whenever there are laws and authorities, people find 20 ways to beat the law, go round the system. And I know it's going to be hopefully a new bill and then a new law which is going to come in. Do you think that there is scope? Because, you know, it has to constantly evolve because new challenges will come. That flexibility is there.
Definitely. I think if you look at the way this government has tried to look at many of the other larger issues around the digital space. So let's take the Personal Data Protection Bill, you know, that came, and then later the Digital Data Protection Act was passed and the rules were framed. A lot of these considerations were done, public consultations were done to see that the law and the rules have teeth. So same here in this case, you know, when the online gaming authority will be set up, the people chosen there, the modalities under which they will work, the terms and conditions that they set for the platforms to operate, the penalties that are put in place, all of that whole ecosystem will definitely be charged to the maximum to see that they deliver.
Right.
So I am very confident, you know, that the approach would never be diluted when it comes to this, because ultimately the government has taken a very bold stand instead of, you know, trying to do a piecemeal kind of a legislation.
Absolutely. Before we say thank you, just a brief look at the possible challenges in implementation. It's a bold step.
Oh, definitely. I think challenges always remain when you do something big. I think the law enforcement, the platforms, the people who work in the platforms at every level, you know, people have to be conscious to the fact that at the end of the day, we have to protect our society. We have to protect our people participating in these games. So those tendencies that we see in many other areas where there is some dereliction, those things have to be very dealt with sternly if it happens. But I would largely think that implementation would be very, very important aspect that the government will also try to see is done properly.
Right. And of course, you're a tech expert. So use of technology to actually battle the harms of technology.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's tech that facilitates and tech that protects and tech that evolves the whole system.
So it's a tool and we will use it wisely. Suvimal Bhattacharji, thank you so much for coming on to our program.
Thank you so much.
You were listening to a discussion on key provisions of the Promotion and Regulation of Online Gaming Bill 2025. The participants were Subimal Bhattacharji, political analyst, and Gaura Dhavanlal, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on a mobile app, News on EIR. This program is also available on a YouTube channel, News on EIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.
Spotlight.